From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama is stepping up pressure on Congress to enact legislation to overhaul the nation's health care system. Mr. Obama says in a city that's prone to inertia, time is now of the essence.
There are too many families who will be crushed if insurance premiums continue to rise three times as fast as wages. There are too many businesses that will be forced to shed workers, scale back benefits, or drop coverage unless we get spiraling health care costs under control.
Mr. Obama speaking at the Children's National Medical Center in Washington today. The chairman of the Republican National Committee, Michael Steele, today called Mr. Obama's efforts to revamp the health care system a reckless experiment. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says the Army will increase its forces by up to 22,000 troops for the next 3 years to help deal with the situations in Iraq and Afghanistan.
This is an important and necessary step to ensure that we continue to properly support the needs of our commanders in the field while providing relief for our current force and their families.
Gates was speaking to reporters at the Pentagon. Four American soldiers were killed by a roadside bomb explosion in eastern Afghanistan today. The Special Inspector General overseeing the government's $700 billion bailout fund wants the Treasury Department to require banks receiving that money to provide more detailed information on how they're using it. NPR's John Idstey reports.
A survey by the Inspector General, Neil Barofsky, finds that 83% of banks say the bailout money was used to supplement lending, including residential, commercial, and business loans. In his report and in an interview with NPR's Morning Edition, Barofsky criticizes Treasury for not asking the banks to track more precisely how the money has been spent. For instance, documenting whether they've increased lending above what it would have been without the government funds.
In our report, we show that this is something that can be done, and from a transparency perspective, we think that it must be done.
Top Treasury officials and bankers have argued gathering that kind of information isn't feasible. John Idstey, NPR News, Washington.
An administration official says a task force set up by the president to determine the best policies for detaining terrorism suspects will need more time to complete its final report. The report had been due tomorrow. NPR's Ari Shapiro has the story.
When President Obama established this task force his first week in office, he left a loophole. The executive order says the task force will finish its work in 180 days, quote, unless the chair determines that an extension is necessary. Administration officials say this week the task force will give an update on its progress and ask for more time. This task force is separate from the group that's reviewing each detainee case at Guantanamo. An administration official says the Guantanamo group has reviewed more than half the detainee cases. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
Wall Street, the Dow is up 98 points. This is NPR News from Washington. A former Boston subway operator accused of sending text messages just before a crash that injured more than 60 people has pleaded not guilty in the case. From member station WBUR in Boston, Franny Carr has the story.
24-year-old Aiden Quinn told authorities he had been text messaging his girlfriend in the moments leading up to the crash. Defense attorney James Sultan says Quinn's life has been shattered by the threat of up to 3 years in prison.
I don't think it's an appropriate charge. I don't think they should be trying to put him in state prison. I think they should be focusing their resources on trying to make the Green Line safer.
After the crash, the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority fired Quinn and implemented a policy banning its drivers from carrying electronic devices of any kind while they're on duty. For NPR News, I'm Franny Carr in Boston.
40 years ago today, at this hour, the lunar landing module had separated from the Apollo 11 spacecraft and was preparing to fire its rockets for its historic landing on the Sea of Tranquility on the surface of the moon. Hours later, astronaut Neil Armstrong became the first person ever to set foot on the moon.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Armstrong and his Apollo 11 crewmates, Mike Collins and Buzz Aldrin, were greeted at the White House this afternoon by President Obama.
Very rarely do I have such an extraordinary pleasure as I have today to welcome three iconic figures.
Mr. Obama said Apollo 11's mission marked the time when mankind was finally untethered from this planet and was able to explore the stars. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.